Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Ron Hampton here again with more stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Here's a look at the stories for you this week.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Today we're going to learn about Helping Hands Ministry and how they are meeting needs for those who are bedridden. They are sharing the love of Jesus with them.
I'm John Graham, and you know all of us make mistakes. The smart ones learn from them. That's the message of Dr. Henry Cloud's new book, Never Go Back. And he joins us to talk about it on today's Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we'll meet a missionary who left a comfortable place of ministry to go to a much more difficult place to start a new church for people who needed one.
I'm Myrna Brown. From Southern Gospel to classical arrangements, the Collingsworth family does a little bit of it all in their ministry.
Also today, we visit church planter Barry Rager in Indianapolis, Indiana on our Missionary Moment. So let's get going for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. Helping Hands Ministry in Kathleen, Georgia has found a niche for ministry to hospice patients in their community. And Juliana Smoke brings us this story on Life with Purpose Radio.
Almost 20 years ago, a group of ladies from Central Baptist Church in Warner Robins, Georgia, found a way to minister to and love those who are bedridden. They began making handmade cancer pads that goes underneath patients in the bed. The ministry is called Helping Hands. And over the years, they have made thousands of cancer pads and have touched countless of lives with the love of Jesus. Faye McCurry with Helping Hands Ministry joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello, Faye.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. How did you all become aware of the need in your community?
We had a young lady in the church at that time that was looking for something to do for the WMU, a ministry group. And she went and taken the course on how to take care of the patients and all. So they told her about this need of doing the cancer pads. And what we do is we take a pad that fits the bed, turn the plastic over, and cover the top side of it so that the patient does not touch the plastic on the pad. Mm-hmm. Because they say that sticks to the skin and tears the skin up for the patient who's already bedridden anyway and don't need any more problems.
Oh, wow.
So that started about 20 years ago.
Wow.
We can't figure out just exactly when, and we just know how. We started off with about 15 ladies, and now we've got up to about 25 to 40 most every month.
Mm-hmm. And you all make around 200 pads a month. How do you pull that off?
Well, we set up a system. We had a gentleman come and visit with us a few weeks ago, and he said, I can't believe the setup y'all got. We got some ladies that's cutting. We got some ladies that's pinning the pads to the sheeting. And then we got people who sit and long hand baste because they say any crease or anything would rub the patient. So we have to be real careful how we do it and just make long stitches.
Mm-hmm. And this is meeting a physical need where it doesn't hurt their skin, but also a financial need because these pads that you all hand out are absolutely free.
Oh, yeah. We just put a cry out that we need some sheets and people just bring them and put them in the storehouse, so to speak. We always have plenty to go on. I had one lady to tell me that she goes through several of them a day because she puts them under her husband when she's giving him a bath. She says they really come in handy. She went through, she said, several dozen a day.
Wow, wow. And I could see that would be very expensive on the family.
They only use them one time. Heart of Georgia Hospice furnishes us these pads. We don't have to buy them. The only thing we have to do is put our time and our thread and talent, a little bit of talent to sew. Mm-hmm. And then we backpack them up, a dozen to a package, and we send them back to hospice. These only go into the patient's homes. They do not go into the hospice hospital.
And you see each pad as a tool to be able to share Jesus.
Yeah, because in each package we also put a track. The track tells Plan of Salvation, if anybody needs to know that, and then they'll have scripture reading in them for the church's name on it. So they know then where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that you all are not only ministering to the patients, but also the caregivers?
Yes, because they can read the tracts and all, see that the pads are a help to them because they don't have to buy them. This is no expense to the patients whatsoever. So people that we have heard talk about it say that it's just a great ministry and how much the families of the patients really do appreciate them. We have one lady who works with hospice, but her mother had cancer, and she said she could declare that these things really were a big help to them because she used them personally with her own mother. We just keep getting feedback that how much the patients and the people who minister to the patients, what they mean to them.
Mm-hmm. What has it meant to you to see the Lord use your hands to make these cancer pads and ultimately show those in need the love of Jesus?
it fills our need. We're doing something for someone that's less fortunate than we are, because we might be facing the same thing tomorrow. We never know.
We've been speaking with Faye McCurry with Helping Hands Ministry. Faye, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
All right. Thank you.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
Oh, no. After we pay these credit cards, we have no money for groceries. What are we going to do?
If I concentrate hard enough, maybe the money will just fall out of the sky.
Look, honey, it's a sack of cash.
The quarters aren't rolled, but the hundreds are banded.
That solves everything.
In a perfect world, all our problems would be solved instantly. In the real world, it's not that easy. But it can go a lot smoother when you work things out together. This message brought to you by Southern Baptists.
Thanks for listening to Life with Purpose Radio. It's good to have you along. It's only human to make mistakes, but the key is to learn from those mistakes. That's the gist of Henry Cloud's new book, Never Go Back. Dr. Cloud joins John Graham for today's Culture Connection.
Dr. Henry Cloud has written numerous books, including the best-selling Boundaries series. His books have sold more than 8 million copies. He often appears on radio and TV broadcasts, including ABC News, PBS, Fox News, and CNN. And now he's with us on Life with Purpose Radio to talk about his new book, Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again. Dr. Cloud, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So tell me the elevator speech about Never Go Back. What is this book about?
One of the differences between really successful people in relationships and in the rest of life, they have pretty much made the same mistakes that everybody makes who stays stuck. But they see these patterns, and once they make that mistake a few times, they never go back, and they make a change. And so what the book is about is I watched highly successful people and highly fruitful people, and what are the big awakenings that they have that are in common, that they hold in common. And these are 10 things that really successful people, you know, once they realize that, they never go back.
Well, I wish we had time to go through all 10, but a couple that really popped out to me, never again try to change another person. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, you know, it is one of the most powerful differences between people that stay hurt and frustrated and stuck, and those that don't, is this difference that the ones that don't stay stuck get out of the role of trying to change the other person. Well, so what are you supposed to do? Just, you know, kind of blow everybody off and just walk away and this, that, and the other? No. But there's a difference in being a change agent in somebody's life and trying to change them, because the big difference is that God created the universe with everybody having this thing called self-control, or the capacity for self-control. We have choice. And the more that we can move into the change agent role, then we see much greater results than when we're trying to nag them, control them, get them to get it, you know, push them up the hill, motor, all that kind of stuff. And it's a very, very big difference.
Okay, so here's another one. Never again believe that you can please everyone. Boy, that's tough.
We really are wired for all sorts of good things to happen inside of us when somebody smiles at us. You know, now, the problem is we live in a universe where people have different agendas.
Yeah.
And some people have good agendas, and some people have self-centered agendas. I did a leadership event one time with Tony Blair, and I asked him, I said, what are some of the shifts that you have to make when you're a prime minister or a leader like that? And I'll never forget this. One of the things he said, everything changed for me as a leader when I realized that every decision divides. Instead of trying to make everybody happy, let's think about who do we want to make happy. You know, Jesus told us that if everybody's happy with us, we got a real problem. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. So once you get that, then you can organize your life to play offense and go forward instead of playing defense trying to make somebody happy.
Wow. Well, you mentioned Jesus and your faith throughout the book. The last one, I'm sure, relates to that. Never again forget that your inner life determines your outer success. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Oh my goodness! You know, this is like the big one in so many ways. I love the old saying that says, you know, the difference in an immature person and a mature person is an immature person wants life to meet their demands, and a mature person meets the demands of life.
Hmm.
I remember I was doing a group in a hospital one time, and this lady said, I get it. I've had 9 abusive husbands, and I'm not going to do that again. And this other lady turned to her and said, Mabel, shut up. You haven't had 9 abusive husbands. You've had 1 abusive husband with 9 different names.
That's great.
And until she realized she has to change that inside of her, her outside world's never going to change.
Mm-hmm. Seems like an amazing book, Dr. Claudio.
There are just 10 of these wake-up calls that really work for people, and so I hope everybody enjoys it.
Where can people get the book?
It's available everywhere. You know, if you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and then I'd invite people to hang out with me on Twitter and Facebook, both at Dr. Henry Cloud.
Awesome. Dr. Cloud, thank you so much for your time today.
Okay, good to be with y'all, and you do a great job.
All right. Until next time, I'm John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
As we bring you weekly stories of people living their lives with purpose and inspirational stories of caring Christians around the world, we hope that you are encouraged to live your life with purpose. And you can let us know by becoming a part of our community and conversations on both Facebook and Twitter. You'll find us at LWP Radio. That's LWP Radio for both Facebook and Twitter. And you can send us your email. We always like to get email. stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And we look forward to reading your comments about today's program and your story suggestions as well. Hey, we'd like to say thank you for being a listener by offering you a free book. It's the devotional book called Words of Life from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. A great way to start and end your day. To get it free, just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. Again, that's lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. And we'll get it into the mail to you absolutely free of charge. Well, let's get back to our stories. Myrna, who's on the way?
Thanks, Rod. From Southern gospel to classical arrangements, the Collingsworth family does a little bit of it all in their ministry. We'll hear from the patriarch of the musical family.
All right. Also ahead is the story of the Rager family planting a church in Indianapolis, Indiana, on our missionary moment. But right now, it's over to Ron Lawson. He's in the Life with Purpose radio studio with the story of the Endeavor Church.
Thanks, Rod. We thank God for the men and women who respond to God's call to take risks and to start new churches where they are needed. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, speaks today with a man who left a comfortable place of ministry to start a new church in a difficult area of Atlanta. Let's listen.
I'm so pleased to be on the phone today with Keith Pierce, one of our Georgia Baptist missionaries who, along with his wife Coy, are starting a new church in inner city Atlanta. Keith, thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you for allowing us to participate.
Keith, not long ago I was talking with Butch Butcher on this program. Butch is one of the leaders in church starting here in Georgia. And I asked him, why do we need more churches? I think that's a question that people ask, particularly in Georgia. They see a Baptist church on almost every other street corner. But you've sensed God's call to a particular area in Atlanta to start a church. And somebody might ask you, don't we have enough churches? How would you respond to that? Why do we need to start churches?
There are, just around the metro Atlanta, probably in the millions of people who are without Christ, unchurched,
yes.
A lot of broken people that just don't fit into a lot of existing churches that are around. It seems to be one of the most evangelistic tools that we can use as far as seeing people saved and baptized.
Absolutely. That's a good word, and thank you for that perspective. I understand from some of our leaders that we need hundreds of new churches, actually, in the Atlanta metropolitan area, and hundreds more throughout the state, each one perhaps needed to reach a particular people group in Georgia. Tell our listeners just a little bit about how God called you and Coy to start Endeavor Church Atlanta, and who are the people that you're reaching there?
We were kind of minding our own business, and it was in a church that I was at for 10 years and expected that's where I would be till Jesus come back. And that was in Tennessee, enjoying everything. And in April of last year, God said, it's time for you to leave. I'm not telling you where you're going until after you leave here. So we left, started recruiting prayer partners, doing some tours and just praying because we sensed that God was leading us to start an inner city church. We looked at New York, and we were also looking at Atlanta and some other places. And long story short, we wound up prayer driving, and through a mobile home park that is Hispanic, driving by a house, the Holy Spirit spoke very strongly and said, stop right here. We wound up leading a lady, Maria, to the Lord, and her daughter, who was 20 years old at the time, single mother. We were still living in Tennessee at the time. And we drove back every weekend for 3 months, discipling them and building relationships with them. We started a church service as a result of that back in January with 4 people. We have probably about 30 people that are coming now. And wonderful. We've seen close to 50 people saved. We had 5 people make professions of faith this week.
How incredible. That's wonderful. From that early encounter with that family in the mobile home park, you've reached many, many folks for Christ, and how we rejoice over that. I wonder if you might just share a quick story about a particular family or individual where you've seen God at work in some special way.
One of the ones that really has become very close to my heart is a young man who's 14 years old. He and his family, there's 6 of them, and they live in a one-bedroom apartment. His father is not able to find a lot of work. It's actually his stepdad. His mother is disabled, and we began building relationships with their entire family, and we're very close to their family. I met him before I met any of them. He was playing soccer out in an apartment complex, and we stopped, and, you know, there were several boys that were around. My wife, Koi, went inside and prayed with her mother, and I'm hanging out with the kids. And actually just sat down and shared the gospel with them. Several of them gave their lives to Christ. His life is being transformed. He's 14. He has now become a big part of our church. He helps run the projector and the slides for the music during church and pretty much does not miss a church service. It's really, really interesting to watch him. And he's got an older brother who's 21. His older brothers, they really try to get him into smoking marijuana with them and just doing a lot of things that they shouldn't do. And when I found that out, I sent an email out to our prayer partners and asked them to pray about this situation. And the following Sunday, the older brother actually showed up at church and gave his life to the Lord.
That's incredible.
It was a big victory. And just, you know, just intentional discipleship. This young man, he's 14 years old. He wants to be a policeman when he gets out of school, but we work some after-school programs around here to help them stay in school, make sure they do their homework and pass their school grades because we want them to get out and have a successful life.
Well, Keith, we thank you so much for that incredible story of how God is at work, and I know he's using you to open up other areas, including apartment complexes, and we're just grateful for how God is moving and how he brought you and Koi from Tennessee down here, and so many in this mobile home park are Spanish-speaking folks, and that happens to be Koi's native language. So, you know, he touched you for a special need in this special area, and he's using you in a great way. How can our churches pray for you? I know they want to join you in this ministry and pray for you. Is there anything specific that they can pray for?
We desperately need child care. We're having probably 8 to 15 children that are starting to come. Of course, we always need prayer support and financial help. You know, I told somebody the other day, with a little money and a lot of help, we could turn this whole city upside down for Jesus.
Amen. And we're thankful for the part that you're doing in that, and God is blessing your ministry in an effective way. I want to thank you, Keith, for being with us today on Life with Purpose Radio. I've been talking with Keith Pierce. Keith and his wife, Koi, are planting a church in a mobile home park in a challenging area of downtown Atlanta. We're so grateful that God is blessing Endeavor Church Atlanta and the wonderful ministry of Keith and Koi Pierce. Thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Black.
For more information on Endeavor Church Atlanta, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Their ministry involves Southern gospel and classical musical styles, and they're known as the Collingsworth family. Here's Myrna Moore now on Life with Purpose Radio with their story.
They've been in music ministry for nearly 3 decades. The Collingsworth family, Phil, Kim, and their children, Brooklyn, Courtney, Philip, and Olivia, have ministered as a family all over the world, and we are delighted to have the patriarch of the family here on Life with Purpose Radio, Phil Collingsworth. Welcome.
Thank you, Myrna, and what a joy to talk to you.
I want to start off talking about how you and Kim met and how the ministry began.
My sister taught at a Quaker college in Indianapolis, Indiana, and her accompanist for her choir was a little girl named Kim. And I had been out touring in the summertime from a college that I attended and came home to visit my sister, and she said to me, "I have this little girl I want you to meet. Her name is Kim."
Wow.
And it only took one meeting, and I thought, oh, this is quite interesting. And we fell in love pretty quickly.
Oh, I love that story.
We played music together. Mm. I did a trumpet thing, and she played piano, and that was the very first time we'd ever met each other. So I guess it was destined to be.
You've never put your instruments down. You all have four children, four young adults, I should say. And what I want to know
right.
is, was it your dream to have a ministry that included your children?
It didn't really occur to me maybe that it would turn it to its own version of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. But that's what has, I guess, been on the Lord's plate, and it just has developed that way. I didn't envision all of this, but I am enjoying the ride. I'll say it that way.
Oh, I can imagine. Your ministry has been a blessing to many, many, many. From the Southern gospel roots to the instrumentation and the cutting edge arrangements. I mean, you all really do it all. Tell us a little bit about the scope of your music ministry.
Probably our basis for musical interpretation comes from classical music, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
We did place a lot of emphasis, as you said, on instrumental music,
mm-hmm.
partly because my wife is an incredibly talented pianist, a concert-level pianist. Child prodigy, playing very fluently at 3 and 4 years old, and was hired to be a main church pianist at a large church by the time she was 7. A lot of that led across into what we began to do with the big dramatic piano arrangements with orchestra, and it seems to appeal to a wide spectrum of evangelical people.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, because you talk about the classical influence, and it certainly is there. You certainly hear it, and you enjoy it. And then you're making DVDs with the Gaithers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, do your kids play instruments as well?
They do. Our two oldest daughters study violin professionally with a member of the Cincinnati Symphony. Our son is quite a very good drummer. And then our youngest daughter has started into classical guitar.
Let me ask you this. Do you prefer playing the classical pieces, or do you prefer singing the good old Southern gospel tunes?
We are very in tune to the audience that's before us at that moment.
Yeah.
And we adjust the program by the way they respond. Mm-hmm. If they like the upbeat gospel, you know, Southern gospel stuff, we'll mm-hmm. give them more of that.
Mm-hmm.
If they like the big classical orchestra stuff, we'll give them more of that.
All four of your now adult age children have their own relationships with the Lord, walking with God. What did
right.
you all do as parents to help facilitate that?
We made decisions on a very daily basis to do everything we could and put everything in front of the children that would turn their face towards heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tried to make things of heaven and things of righteous living be exciting for the children,
mm-hmm.
And made their heroes be people that were missionaries and people that were gospel singers that lived, you know, exactly what they sang. You know, I don't know what portion of that formula worked, except that we prayed an awful lot with them.
Before I let you go, tell people your latest project.
It's called The Lord Is Good, and they can find it at any Christian retail outlet, at Walmart stores, on iTunes and at our website, collingsworthfamily.com.
Very good. Phil Collingsworth, oh, it has been such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
It was a delight, Myrna, very much a delight. And thank you for the opportunity.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment takes us to Indianapolis, Indiana, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
Everybody on Ruckel Street always thought they were a bit strange.
When we moved in, we had been told that it would take at least 6 months for anyone to really even have anything to do with us.
They were a mom, a dad, a son, a daughter, and a son who chose to move into one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Indianapolis.
And are there dangers? Yes. We trust God.
Last winter, Barry and Amy Rager brought their family here to plant a church. And their recipe for doing that started with a recipe.
Our second day here, it was February. And so nobody's outside. We wanted to meet people.
My dirty oven. Woo-hoo.
Barry looked at me and said, no one is going to open the door for us.
Careful on the sidewalk because it's really slick.
We said that if we take the kids, who can say no to children holding a plate of cookies?
And I thought, that's crazy. So it's probably what we need to do.
That was the day everything began to change.
We brought you some cookies.
The first week, I made enough cookies for our whole block.
Wait, everybody wait.
Now, 1 year later, everyone on Ruckel Street knows the Ragers.
And just acting unafraid has made the neighborhood trust us.
This is the perfect neighborhood to raise their children.
We're excited that they get to watch this story unfold.
And now, 1 year later, there is a church that was started in the most unlikely of ways.
It's all from cookies.
We want tonight to honor you.
God used that just small little act of generosity as a way to bridge cultures here.
These have peanuts and these don't.
It's a broken plate.
Take a big bite.
Oh, no.
But the people are open and receptive to the gospel in a way that is beautiful. And so we're excited to be here.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, go to LifeWithPurposeRadio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. And we hope these stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As today you heard about Helping Hands Ministry, author Henry Cloud, the Endeavor Church, the Collingsworth family, and missionaries Barry and Amy Rager in Indiana. Please be with us next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And visit us online at LifeWithPurposeRadio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.